You tuned in to the Kojo Nandi Show on WAMU 88.5. Welcome. Were you downtown at yesterday's counter-protest marches and rally? Did anything surprise you about what you saw? Give us a call. Yesterday, a few dozen white nationalists came to town to march through downtown and rally in front of the White House. Their numbers were dwarfed by throngs of police and counter-protesters. So what does the public display of the movement look like a year after the deadly white supremacist rally in Charlottesville? WAMU's reporter Ellie Yu was there. She joins me now in studio. Ellie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
There were, in fact, very few white nationalists this time around. What did you see, and were you able at any point to speak with any of them?
I wasn't able to speak to any of them, and as you mentioned, there were very few of them in the park yesterday. There were, however, hundreds of counter-protesters, thousands that came. So I was mostly in the north section of the park where counter-protesters started gathering early in the afternoon, even before the white nationalists came. And from their vantage point, it was very hard to see the white nationalists, actually, when they were arriving. Police kept them very far apart. There were multiple barricades separating the two groups. The two groups couldn't really actually interact with each other. I saw a few of them, a few of the white nationalist rally goers. In the distance, I could see some carrying flags, but there were also media there with them. So it was quite hard to make out exactly how many people were there.
Given that you couldn't see them very well, did this group of white nationalists seem significantly different, outside of numbers, of course, from the group that marched and rioted in Charlottesville last August? Did any of them seem to be armed with anything that could do harm?
So they didn't seem to be armed. Some were carrying flags, as I mentioned, American flags. And D.C. obviously is very different from Virginia in that officials made clear that you cannot open carry in the district, and you cannot, even if you have a permit to concealed carry, to have a concealed carry weapon, carry it within within in and around demonstrations. So there were no weapons, as far as we know.
What is your takeaway from yesterday's rallies and counter-protests in D.C.? Give us a call. The New York Times notes that the diminished numbers may have been because many who marched openly in last year's white supremacist rally were later identified, some losing their jobs, many being called out on social media. Could you see, did participants attempt to hide their faces or identities that you could tell?
Participants didn't seem to hide their faces. Jason Kessler, the event's main organizer, was out there in the open. He was wearing a suit. But there was some indication that this group was going to be a lot smaller than the groups we saw last year in Charlottesville. For one, Kessler indicated in his permit application to the National Park Service that there would be a maximum of 400 people, even if that. And before the rally started, a number of white nationalist groups have said they were not going to go, that they were not going to attend this year's rally. The founder of the Daily Stormer, which is a neo-Nazi website, said that he denounced the event and that going to events like this made them look like what he called the lunatic fringe.
What about the former Ku Klux Klan Grand Dragon David Duke? He was advertised as one of the speakers at this rally.
That was in some of the permit emails that the National Park Service had released through a Freedom of Information Act. Kessler tweeted that he didn't publicly announce the speakers and that these were just regular people going to be speaking at the event.
We're talking with Ellie Yu. She's a reporter with WAMU who covered yesterday's demonstration by white nationalists and the counter-protest by a lot more people. The police chief and the mayor held a press conference and seemed pleased that the day resulted in no deaths or serious injuries, only one arrest. But not everyone is happy about how law enforcement and Metro handled the day. Who was displeased and about what?
Some counter-protesters I spoke with said they were really unhappy that Metro that they felt that the white nationalists were given special treatment, in their view, a private Metro car being transported from Vienna to Foggy Bottom Station and then had police escort them to the park. They said, you know, groups like Black Lives Matter, other activist groups don't get such special treatment. And so they were upset about that. But some other counter-protesters seemed to have mixed feelings about it. They said they didn't like that police escorted the white nationalists, but at the same time, they didn't want to see any violence break out. And it seemed like that was the only way to do so.
Let's hear from one of the participants in yesterday's counter-protest, Michael, in Southeast Washington. Hey. Michael, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hey, how are you doing? I just wanted to, you know, I was there yesterday, and it was very peaceful. I was with the Black Lives Matter movement. And, you know, honestly, I'm glad the police were there. There was a lot of emotions. Emotions were very high. And it, you know, definitely helped control the situation.
Ellie, what was happening in general on the counter-protest site? What was the mood? What messages did they communicate? And what groups were there? Thank you for your call, Michael.
Yeah, the mood was pretty peaceful. I mean, early on in the afternoon, people were dancing, chanting, having a good time. People were, you know, bringing homemade signs, coming with their family and friends. As the white nationalists came, the crowd definitely got louder and wanted to drown out the message of white nationalists. Basically, their message was that their views were not welcome here in the district.
There was no serious violence yesterday, but there were apparently some tense moments. What were some of those incidents?
There were some instances after the white nationalist rally goers had left where some of the counter protesters had gotten into confrontations with police officers. The D.C. police say they're investigating a use of force incident. Apparently, pepper spray was used on some counter protesters, and D.C. police say they're looking into that.
Here is Barry in Alexandria. Hi, Barry.
Hi, Coach. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I went down there last night, well, about 4:30, and it was very peaceful. The reason I went down there was because basically 400,000 Americans lost their lives defending our country against people like these. And fascists have no place in America, Nazis, white supremacists, and I just wanted to make sure that they heard that loud and clear.
Did you think they did? Were you satisfied with the counter-protesters' message?
I was. Everyone was well-behaved. The police were wonderful. In fact, I'm from Virginia and rarely use the metro, and I got lost and couldn't find the closest metro, and the police were very kind and showed me the way, and everybody was well-behaved, having a good time, and there for the same purpose. It has no place in America.
Barry, thank you very much for your call. We'll move on now to Jay in Annandale. Jay, your turn.
So my question was about First Amendment speech, as far as if you do disagree with the message of the white nationalist about doing, you know, protest and also nonviolent action versus some other strategies that we sometimes see. And then also, definitely when I was there, the police presence was completely different than Charlottesville last year, which I saw. I wasn't at Charlottesville. And so they definitely handled it differently there. It was very well handled, probably more practice up here in D.C.
Yep, I think that's true. More practice up here in D.C. But thank you very much for your call. Ellie, a lot of restaurants and other establishments around town made it known that they would not be serving white nationalists. Did you see any actual signs to that effect?
I didn't see any signs, but I wasn't. I was quite focused around Lafayette Square, where the counter protesters were having their rally. But even if they had those signs, the white nationalists wouldn't have had a chance to even patronize any of the restaurants. They were escorted by police into the park, and they were escorted out in white vans. And the event was actually supposed to go from 5:30 to 7:30. It ended before it even began, so they were in and out.
We got an email from Steve who says, I was there, and while I do believe that ignoring that little bunch of sad sacks might have caused them to go nearly unnoticed, I also think that whenever white supremacists, Nazis, etc. show up, they must be answered. As I have been since the March on the Pentagon in 67, I was impressed by the skill and discipline of D.C.'s police. I especially appreciated how their low-key but strong response effectively marginalized the black-suited, childish, Antifa, ninja wannabes and foiled their desire to make the whole thing about them. That didn't seem to be much of a big deal either yesterday. The Antifa and the police.
Well, there were some confrontations between people who were in masks throwing bottles and what appeared to be flares. But in the end, D.C. police say there was only one arrest, a 44-year-old man who had appeared to pepper spray someone and had some other items on him that could have been used as weapons.
Here is Charles in Brandywine. Charles, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, sir. How are you? Good morning to everyone. So my question was, more of a statement slash question. Why is it okay to have Black Lives Matter rallies, but not white nationalists, as long as it's peaceful, first of all? Second of all, my other question is, as soon as we all, every race, take racism out of the public spotlight, wouldn't that be better for everyone? Everyone is so focused on the fact that Black Lives Matter or white nationalists or whatever their beliefs are. But we are all Americans, and we all bleed the same color. And as long as we're demonstrating peacefully, what does it really matter?
Well, there are two answers to that question. One, I don't think you can compare the Black Lives Matter movement with the white nationalist or white supremacist movement. The Black Lives Matter movement is seeking for justice, it feels. White supremacists are seeking to make America a white nation. However, when it comes to the First Amendment issue, I think all of the officials, including the police, made it clear that the white supremacists do indeed have a right to express themselves, and that's why they were permitted to march here yesterday, and the march turned out to be peaceful. We only have time for one more, and that's Cindy in Severn, Maryland. Cindy, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
I was in there with my daughter, who's a college student, and I was impressed with the mood, to be honest with you. We entered Metro at Branch Avenue, and there were very few people there, and we were thinking, oh, this isn't going to be a big deal, the rain, et cetera, et cetera. And then as we got to each station, more and more people got on, and it was very empowering to be with other people of all races and nationalities and genders and identities. And we took a shuttle bus together, and we were packed in there, and as we got closer to the area, it was very, very positive. Okay. And the only thing that was dampening, of course, was the weather, because it was raining pretty hard. But it was very anticlimactic, because we never even knew when these white supremacists came. We didn't hear them speak.
Well, they departed before the scheduled time of their demonstration, which was 5:30 p.m. But, Ellie, what effect did the rain have on the counter-protesters?
The counter-protesters seemed to come prepared with umbrellas. They were out there for quite a while, even while it rained. They were there out in force even after the white nationalists had left.
Did you have an umbrella?
I had a poncho.
Oh, okay. Well, next time, please give Ellie an umbrella. Ellie Yu is a reporter with WAMU. Ellie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Kojo Namdi.